How many times are you being told to make something of yourself? To do something significant in this world? And to stand on your own two feet? All through school, and for many of us, university and beyond, we're told if we work hard and make good choices, we'll achieve success. If we're struggling to work out how best to use our gifts, no worries. Hundreds of books and podcasts and websites and counsellors are devoted to helping us achieve personal fulfilment and success. This focus starts very young. When we were first looking for a primary school, our local school principal lectured us, the gathered parents, at great length on how this school would turn our four-year-olds into successful adults. And I have to admit that after 45 minutes, she was still going, and I just walked out and went to the next school. In our society, people with particular gifts are given high status. Just think of the ways we honour those who are articulate, literate, efficient, good at hiding their emotions, or good at making money. And even Christians fall into the patterns of valuing some patterns of gifting and success. Every church honours some gifts more highly than others. Here, perhaps, we place a high value on the gifts of preaching, liturgy writing, art making, justice seeking, contemplative prayer, and cooking soup. And other churches might more particularly honour the gifts of speaking in tongues, or extemporaneous prayer, or street corner evangelism. We all honour some gifts more highly than others. And we also honour the holders of some gifts more highly than other people. We give special status to people with particular gifts, and sometimes we even envy those people. I'm certainly not immune. There are times when I really envy Paul's artistic abilities, Sylvia's incredible capability, your precise thinking, Samara's voice. All of you have these amazing things that I don't have. And we live in a society where it's too easy to take pride in personal gifts and too easy to envy the gifts of others. Because the world that we live in believes that gifts are gifts to an individual. But this is a particularly Western way to live. Behind all these assumptions about personhood and giftedness, ownership and success, lies this idea of individualism. That is, that each of us is a separate, independent and distinct person. For the most part, people in Australia believe that our gifts and our actions aren't affected by other people or the world around us. And we tend to assume that the people around us are separate, independent, distinct individuals with whom we sometimes interact. Because we're all so embedded in the worldview, it can be hard for us to see it, or to see how it permeates everything that we believe or do. But it's exactly this worldview and this understanding of personhood which leads us to assume that gifts belong to individuals, whether gifts of the Spirit or other talents or skills or material wealth. But this view is not historically normal. It's not even the dominant worldview today. These assumptions about the nature of personhood are not even shared by everyone in this room. People from non-Anglo backgrounds, for example, China, often form their identity and see their role in life through the eyes of a collective. The groundbreaking missionary, Vincent Donovan, observed to the Maasai people that no one really tried to stand out in a community, perhaps didn't even want to. Any talents that people possessed and displayed were accepted and recognised by the community and put to good use by the community. In that society, gifts didn't lead to the achievement and success of an individual, nor to anyone getting ahead. Instead, gifts were for the community and used by the community for the good of the community. To people with that worldview, the words of the Apostle Paul that we heard tonight would be self-evident. All gifts are given for the common good. All gifts for the common good. But to individualists, that is, most of us, these words are very hard to hear and very difficult to put into action. For many of us, I reckon one of the biggest obstacles to faith is its corporate nature and its corporate call. We're called as individuals. We make individual testimonies and professions of faith. We're baptised individually. But when we're baptised into the body of Christ. At the very point of our baptism, or the reaffirmation of baptismal vows when we come into membership of a church, at that point we're joined with a group of people, a group which, given half a chance, we probably wouldn't really choose. And in being bound to that group, we're bound to live in love from that day forth. And that's what it means to be a baptised believer. You become a member of the body, Christ's body. And as a member of the body, you're called to serve others and to serve the world. And this is why you're given gifts at your baptism. Gifts of wisdom or prayer or music making or discernment or witnessing or hospitality or generosity or whatever else. It's as a member of the body that you're given the gifts that are needed for this body to serve in this time and in this place. Your gifts are not given to you individually for your own advancement or for your personal success. Your gifts are given to the community. And as an individual, you're the vessel for these gifts, but nothing more. For those of you who formed your identity, like me, on the basis of your gifts, talents, or resources, this can sound really distressing, because Christ doesn't care about your status. You're not being asked to make something of yourself. You're not being asked to stand on your own two feet. You're not expected to be successful or to use your gifts for personal fulfilment. And worse, any pride that you take in your gifts is a sin, because it assumes that you've earned the gifts, when in truth, they are given from God. But to those of you who felt the unbearable pressure to succeed, or who felt like failures, or who cannot see a way forward, to those of you who tried to make something of yourself and saw it turn to ashes, to those of you who are standing on your own two feet and are aching with loneliness, well, this is good news, because you can lay your burdens down. God doesn't love you for your achievements. God doesn't judge you for your failures. You don't need to prove yourself, and you don't need to go it alone. Instead, you can come bringing the gifts that you are and the gifts that were conferred upon you at your baptism. Bring them into the community and let God use them for God's purpose. Because when God takes your gifts and my gifts and Shelley's gifts and Francisco's gifts and everybody's gifts, when God stitches all these people and these gifts together, then we form the body of Christ. Our individual achievements and successes will never provide us with the full, rich identities that we long for. But this doesn't matter one little bit. Because when we join together in worship, work and play, then Christ himself is made manifest in the world, and we are part of that. So paradoxically, it's precisely when we give up trying to forge our own identity, it's precisely when we submit our gifts and ourselves to the body of Christ that our true identity will be revealed, the identity we took on when we were baptised. And as the body continues to take shape and grow, we'll continue to unearth new gifts, surprising gifts, in ourselves and in each other. We'll forge identities that are far richer, far more familiar, and far more satisfying than anything we could have imagined for ourselves. Because we are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. And with it comes all the gifts and all the belonging and all the identity we could ever hope for.